For the wine industry now, and Australian winemakers are riding the wave of popularity of rosé. Coonawarra winemaker Sue Bell from Bellwether Wine says the Australian trend is part of an international revival. Sue Bell was judging wines in Hobart, where the rosé category went from 7 last year to more than 70 entries this year.
I've just come off tasting some final tastings for gold medals in various classes, and one class that's a lot of fun these days that wasn't many years ago is rosé. You know, probably 5 years ago they were wondering about the relevance of still having a rosé class with, you know, 7 entries. We had 76 entries in rosé, and I think we've got 2 really strong gold medals and multiple silvers. It's become a really fun and high quality class in that people have woken up to the fact that rosé suits Australia. So climatically, we should be drinking more rosé in Australia. We've got a great climate and great food, but we've also now got varieties in the ground that I think can be used for making really savoury, interesting textural rosés. And so the growth in that dry, savoury rosé with things like Italian varieties or Pinot Noir in cooler climates with better acidity, you know, it's just making far more interesting wines. Winemakers aren't just using runoff leftovers. They're actually making rosé specifically from grapes, building texture into them with Lee's work, and I think we're seeing just great results. And, you know, it suits our food and our climate.
So in Tasmania, do you think there's scope for rosé in Tasmania though?
Rosé is the biggest growth category in the world. So it's international trend, how fast it's grown. So, yes, now you see restaurants that don't just have one rosé by the glass, they might have a couple of rosés by the glass and then a few rosés by the bottle. And if you think about it, you've had white and red, now we have pink. It's not just a variety, it's a whole category.
So what makes rosé then?
Well, it is so diverse. You know, everything from a lot of the Italian varieties that we now have mature in the ground in Australia. And so they've been planted often in warmer regions for their acid retention, natural acid retention. So not us having to add acid to make more balanced wines. So they have better flavour of acid. The same as planting in cooler climates for better acid retention means that it's that natural acid with flavour.
Was that a happy coincidence? Why the rise of rosé?
Drinkability internationally, you know, and you look in the UK and the US, the really huge growth in rosé is men. It's that dry, savoury style. I mean, they've known about it in the south of France for years. You know, Provence has been delivering great products for a long, long time. And you sit in a nice, sunny afternoon, maybe it's climate change. But, I mean, you know, that's kind of fun, but it's got a lot more serious. Then at the other end, we've got the quality of Australian Chardonnay just gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Coonawarra winemaker Sue Bell from Bellwether Wines talking there to Sally Dacus. So what is rosé? What makes it pink? How is it made? Reporter Hilary Burden travelled to Labrinna in Tasmania's northeast to find out from winemaker Dr. Andrew Peary.
Rosé is really a halfway between red wine and white wine, but you really need to start with red grapes, not white grapes. What you do is you start with a red grape, you just allow a staining of the juice with the skins. In French, that's called the taché, means to stain, and that bleeding of the colour from the skins creates the light pink, but not too much because apart from the red colour in skins, there's also tannin, which is bitter, and if you do too much colour, you get bitterness in your rosé. And because rosés are not aged, the bitterness is not softened with age. Hence, you want ideally a red grape that's not too high in tannin, just lightly extracted so that you get a nice pink colour. And you can choose your pink. And there's 2 schools. There's the salmon pink and the cherry pink. And you can choose your school by how much you aerate the juice. And if you aerate the juice during the pressing of the grapes, you get the salmon pink. If you protect the juice from oxidation, you get the cherry pink. Mm.
It's rosé, not rose. You do hear people, yes. Australians say rose, don't
yes,
you?
But yes, you have to get the acute on the E, which is difficult in our keyboards.
And texting, it doesn't happen really, does
yeah,
it?
That's right. So it's not surprising. It's often written as rose, but it's meant to be rosé. And rosé means pink in French.
So colour variations, but also from dry to sweet as well. That happens at the winemaking stage.
That's another choice from the winemaker. So you've got lots of choices. You choose your variety, and you can make Pinot Noir rosé, which you'll see in Tasmania more commonly than the others. That's just because that's the main red grape of Tasmania. But commonly, rosé in the warm regions will be made from grapes like Grenache, Mourvèdre, which is another warm climate grape. By and large, my reading of it is the rosé is meant to be quaffable with summer lunches, so it shouldn't be too heavy. And from a colour point of view, it shouldn't be too dark, because then you'll have too much bitterness from the tannins.
Andrew Peary, we just heard from Sue Bell from Bellwether Wines, one of the judges at the recent Hobart Wine Show. Only a few years ago, they were even questioning the relevance of the class surviving, with only just a handful of wines being judged. Just this year, more than 70 entries in the rosé category. What are you putting that down to?
Look, I think we're starting to head down the path of Provence, in that we've got a warm climate. We do a lot of summer entertaining around the lunch table. And you want wines that are quaffable with seafood, and the big Brossa, Shiraz and Grenaches are really best in winter around a log fire. In summer they can be too alcoholic and strong. So I think possibly Australia's heading into a style of wine that suits the climate.
So more than a fashion? Do you think it's just one of those fashion things that comes and goes?
I think it's starting to look like it's a changing lifestyle. Also, there's an innate quality factor. I think in the sparkling wines, the rosé's looking to be very high quality in an absolute sense, which means that they'll be here to stay because it's a good product.
Sparkling rosé, sparkling pink, your pink bubbles, popular here.
So pink bubbles has got probably a bad concept, in that it's seen to be originally very feminine, frilly, frothy, whereas in the winemaking areas, the rosé is seen as the pinnacle of achievement, and in Champagne, the rosé is more expensive than the white bubbles. But there are areas of Tasmania that are very strong in rosé sparkling.
And I think we're in one of them here. We're in your disgorging room. Do you want to explain what you're about to do?
Yes, so we disgorge the rosé here, which is according to the traditional method of Champagne. We allow the sediment to travel down to the neck of the bottle, and you can see it there. It's sitting in a little ice block on top of the crown seal. The bottle's upside down. The neck has been submerged in freezing liquid. We've now got an ice plug, which has trapped the yeast in the ice block. So we're now going to use the pressure in the bottle to pop that out.
And the freezing liquid is a table wine that's being turned into champagne, sparkling wine, in the traditional method, you're saying?
So this is what's inside the bottle is a sparkling rosé made by the champagne method. So you can now tell that it's got some pressure in the bottle. That bang was we've ejected the yeast. We've now got no sediment in the bottle, which is what the traditional method is all about. And this will now go on to the next stages of liqueuring and corking.
What would be your preference for a summer drink? Would it be a table wine rosé, or would it be a sparkling vintage, or is that an unfair question?
You know, it comes down to what you're eating. I have inside on the table a Grenache rosé, which will work really well with, you know, lamb chops on the barbecue. If you don't want a big red, the rosé will work beautifully on a warm day. But with a duck breast, you're probably going to reach for your sparkling rosé.
It's come of age?
Yes, look, I think I remember the time when people said Australian men wouldn't drink Pinot Noir because it was, you know, a girl's drink, too light and aromatic. Pinot Noir is now highly admired, even in Adelaide. So things are changing, and I think the approach to drinking is getting a bit more sophisticated as well.
So, we knew that all along, the girls. It's interesting that the girls' drinks are now actually the most sophisticated and elegant choices.
Well, that's right. So I think we're on the path to greater diversity of lifestyle, and I'm hearing, for instance, that men are drinking a lot more sparkling as an aperitif instead of beer. And there are a number of reasons for that, but it actually works better. I think.